Right, so here's the strange thing about this latest shock out of Israel. People are acting like the surveillance of US troops at a base in Kiryat Gat is some wild new departure. And the truth is it fits so neatly into Israel's long habit of spying on the very countries keeping it afloat that you almost wonder why anyone's surprised at it. A US general has had to pull an Israeli counterpart aside and tell him the recording has to stop. Staff are warning each other to keep their voices down, and Israel is waving it all off as absurd, which is exactly how they always respond when the evidence gets too close to comfort. So I'll tell you what this really is. It isn't a scandal because it happened, it's a scandal because it's happened before. And everyone in Washington still pretends it won't happen again. Right, so Israel has been accused of spying on US troops operating out of a base in Kiryat Gat. And the first thing to understand is that the shock is performative, because none of this behaviour is new, none of it is surprising, and none of it stands apart from a long, well-documented pattern of Israeli intelligence targeting the very states that keep it armed, funded, and politically protected. What's different this time is the location, the timing, the mission those US troops are on, and the fact that this leak has come from inside the American command rather than from a political briefing in Washington. A US-run Civil Military Coordination Center, or CMCC, has been set up inside Israel, close to the Gaza border, to monitor the ceasefire, such as it is, coordinate humanitarian access, such as that is, and begin the slow, bureaucratic work of shaping what Gaza's administration will look like under the framework inherited from the Trump plan, the Trump peace plan, because it's still getting flogged like a dead horse. Inside that base, though, according to staff, Israel is reportedly to have been recorded meetings, openly and covertly, no less. That includes discussions between American officers and humanitarian agencies, which is already politically dangerous, because this is the one area of the conflict where Israel wants as little outside scrutiny as possible. When those recordings became obvious enough that staff started raising the alarm about it, the American commander, Lieutenant General Patrick Frank, summoned his Israeli counterpart and told him the recording had to stop. And here's the thing, even that confrontation hasn't stopped anything. And we've seen this pattern enough times that nobody paying attention actually should be surprised by this, because when US-born Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard was caught walking out with some of the most sensitive intelligence the US held, Israel denied, then minimized, then carried on as if nothing had happened. And when American negotiators discovered their communications had been compromised during talks with Iran, the same choreography played out. And when US diplomats had to be warned that their phones were hit with Pegasus spyware, Washington grumbled, but still treated it as a friendly misunderstanding. And even when US agencies publicly described Israel as one of the most aggressive collectors of American secrets, nothing in the relationship shifted. So by the time you get to a base in Kiryat Gat with humanitarian staff whispering because they assume the host state is still listening, you can see the through line clearly, can't you? This isn't an aberration, it's the operating manual. And Israel acts on it because it knows the United States will keep absorbing the blows rather than admit the imbalance for what it is. And so in light of all of this, United States personnel have been told to limit what they say. Visiting delegations have been warned that information may be lifted. And international staff have been quietly started treating the CMCC as compromised space. That's the present. It's bad enough. But you only understand the scale of the political problem when you place it alongside the history, because Israel spying on the United States is not the story. Israel spying on the United States yet again inside a US-run facility while the United States enforces a ceasefire framework on Israel's behalf is the story. And Washington, as usual, is pretending it still isn't happening. The truth is that Israel has never treated the United States as a trusted intelligence partner in the sense that Washington likes to think it does. Israel treats the US as a strategic pillar, yes, but also as a predictable intelligence target because American decisions have direct consequences for Israeli freedom of action. So Israeli services collect, which is their doctrine, and American officials complain, which is their habit, and the relationship just carries on without anything ever actually changing. You can start with the Pollard case, which has never really gone away because it shows the scale and intent of Israeli espionage inside US defense structures. You can move through the years of friction revealed during the Snowden leaks, not because the US was surprised Israel wanted access to raw intelligence, but because the United States was surprised by how aggressively Israel used what it was given. Then you have the episodes where US diplomats have been intercepted during negotiations with Arab partners or while discussing nuclear matters with Iran, and the episodes where American embassy staff found themselves targeted with Israeli-made spyware. These aren't allegations floating around the internet. These are documented cases where Israel has treated the United States exactly the way it treats every other actor in the region, as a source of risk, a source of leverage, and a source of information that might constrain Israel's next move if left unmonitored. And while the United States complains privately, grumbles publicly, and warns Israel to just stop it more times than anyone can count, it's never imposed a consequence that's been strong enough to alter Israeli behaviour. And so Israel keeps doing it. And that's why the present scandal is actually so revealing, because the shock from inside the American mission is real, but the lack of shock from Washington is what tells you the deeper truth. There's no avoiding the politics built into this story. The CMCC exists because the United States is trying to stabilize a ceasefire, inverted commas, the Israeli government has resisted, and because international partners need someone to coordinate aid flows into Gaza while Israel controls all the crossings and the airspace. But it also exists because the Trump plan, however flawed and tattered it might be by this point, created a framework where Gaza's future was going to involve outside oversight, which is exactly the part of the plan Israel never wanted to see enforced. They thought they had a veto over everything, you see. So when American officers sit down with humanitarian groups or with European partners or with Arab delegations, those conversations become politically sensitive because Israel wants visibility into anything that might limit its control of Gaza's future or expose the scale of humanitarian obstruction. And when those conversations are happening inside a US-run base that Israel cannot directly supervise, the incentive for Israeli intelligence to place eyes and ears inside that room becomes obvious. I'm not excusing it, I'm just explaining the mechanics of it. Because the question isn't why did Israel spy, the question is why would Israel not spy given its doctrine, its interests, and the consistent lack of consequences from Washington? When you look at it that way, the real surprise isn't that Israel placed recording devices or monitored discussions. The real surprise is that anyone inside the US mission believed the space would be treated as off-limits by them. But the part worth pausing on is that this wasn't just Americans who noticed. Staff from other countries became concerned. Delegations were told to limit their disclosures. Some humanitarian partners were warned that information shared inside the CMCC might be vulnerable. That means this wasn't a minor breach. It was wide enough and obvious enough that international professionals, people who operate in hostile environments for a living, looked around and realized the host state might be running surveillance on a ceasefire mission. That damages trust in a way you cannot easily repair. And if you want to understand why that matters, think about the next time the United States tries to assemble a multinational monitoring force, or the next time it asks partners to work inside Israeli territory, or the next time humanitarian groups are told they'll have protected space to coordinate relief. The memory of this episode will be there. We all ought to remember it too. You can see the risks already. Partners start self-censoring. Intelligence agencies tighten their compartmentalization. And the United States ends up operating in an environment where even its closest allies assume Israel is listening. That isn't a functional basis for a multinational mission, it's a liability. Now, Israel has dismissed the allegations as absurd, which is exactly what Israel always does, because the denial is part of the performance and the espionage is the reality. There's nothing new in that. The Israeli military denies, Israeli officials deny, Israeli spokespeople deny. And the entire ecosystem of state messaging does what it always does. It treats allegation as provocation, evidence as hostility, and consequence as something Israel will never permit from its allies. The choreography is familiar. What's interesting this time is that the denial doesn't seem to have convinced the people inside the base, which tells you something about the credibility gap between Israel's public messaging and its behavior on the ground. When staff inside a joint mission are warning each other not to talk freely, you have a breakdown in trust. And trust is the one thing these operations cannot function without. So let's look at the United States, because this is where the real political story sits. A US commander has confronted the Israeli side. That's unusual. It means the espionage was serious enough to disrupt the mission. It means there was enough evidence for a senior general to risk the diplomatic heat of a formal challenge. And yet the political system in Washington has not reacted to it. Not publicly, not meaningfully, not at all. This isn't because the intelligence community doesn't care. It's because the political leadership won't touch it. The US has built a relationship with Israel where confrontation is more politically dangerous than being spied on, and every administration knows it. So they swallow it. They work around it. They tighten internal protocols. They tell staff to be careful. And they keep funding, keep arming, keep shielding the state that is spying on their own personnel. It's a structural flaw, not a momentary one. Here's where the controlled contempt comes in, because you can see the absurdity already, I'm sure. A superpower has allowed its smallest ally to behave like this for decades, and the pattern hasn't changed because the political cost of admitting the pattern is higher than the cost of enduring it. This is how the imbalance works. It's ridiculous. Israel knows the US won't retaliate. Israel knows American politicians will avoid confrontation. Israel knows the intelligence partnership is too valuable for the United States to jeopardize. And Israel knows that even when American troops are being recorded inside a base meant to enforce a ceasefire they don't like, Washington will choose silence over accountability. That's the heart of this story. Not the surveillance, not the spying, the relationship. And you can take this even further if you want to see how the machinery really operates. Israel doesn't just distrust the United States, it distrusts everyone. That's its doctrine, that's its worldview. Everyone's against them. In all of these countries, the US especially, keep offering loyalty, support, weapons, diplomatic protection, political cover, constantly, as if the relationship is reciprocal, but it isn't. The CMCC incident exposes the real structure. Israel wants all the benefits of alliance and none of the obligations. It wants access without oversight. It wants protection without scrutiny. And it wants visibility into every single mechanism that might, no matter how slightly, constrain it. You can see that in its resistance to international monitors, to humanitarian observers, to letting journalists into Gaza, to any body that might impose a requirement to report facts Israel doesn't want reported. So spying on a US-led coordination center becomes part of the same behavior the world's seen for decades. A state that refuses to be accountable, even to its own backers. And it's worth saying this, too. The United States will not force the issue. Not now, not in 6 months, not in a year. The people inside the mission may push the issue, but Washington won't. You can see the quiet resentment in some of the leaks. You can see the irritation behind the general's warning. You can see the worry among humanitarian groups who now have to assume their hosts are listening. But none of that will translate into consequences because the political structure won't allow it. You know how this goes. The story will fade. The diplomatic relationships will resume their usual choreography, and Israeli intelligence will continue treating American assets as legitimate targets whenever it sees value in doing so. So the verdict at the end of the day is a very simple one. Israel spying on US troops is not the break in the relationship. Israel spying on US troops and the United States tolerating it, yet again, is the relationship. And that's the part nobody in Washington is willing to say out loud. Something else being said out loud from Washington's side that Israel won't very much like either is that they're incapable of defeating Hezbollah and should get used to the notion that a firefight in Lebanon again, if Israel happened to reopen that can of worms, will not go their way. So says a US ambassador. So get all the details of that story here. Please do also hit like, share and subscribe if you haven't done so already, so as to ensure you don't miss out on all new daily content, as well as spreading the word and helping to support the channel at the same time, which is very much appreciated. Holding power to account for ordinary working class people. And I'll hopefully catch you on the next one. Cheers, folks.